Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Gospel of Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Now, just prior to this, Jesus is traveling through Samaria on his way to Jerusalem, and as he was going through Samaria, he was not being welcomed. He was being rejected there. And we come to this place, and it says, as they were walking along the road, in other words, they were continuing their journey, a man said to him, Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, this is right on, remember, this is right on the heels of other people, another community rejecting him and saying, you know, you're not welcome here. Now this person, he says, I'll follow you, Lord. I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. Now Jesus is making the invitation to another person. One volunteers, the other Jesus calls. And the man replies, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you. I'll follow you, Lord. But first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. I want to look at a few things very quickly, very simple things. Nothing complex, nothing real hidden that's going to be revealed. It's just right out there for us to take in, latch onto with the help of the Holy Spirit. Man volunteers to follow the Lord, and Jesus replies to him about the inconvenience of following Jesus. If you follow me, you know, understand that, you know, foxes at least have holes, and birds of the air have nests. But you know what? Where I go and how I travel, you may not have all those conveniences. I'm about my father's business, and that takes the priority. And there's nothing wrong, and Jesus isn't condemning conveniences. He's just saying, where I'm going and what I'm doing, you got to know something. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests. I don't know whether the person he was speaking to knows that he was just rejected in part of Samaria. See, he was looking to, you know, hold up there on his journey, get a little rest for the balance of the journey to Jerusalem. But he couldn't find a place there. They didn't receive him there. A fox has hole, at least a hole he can go to. And bird has a nest. But where Jesus goes, there's no telling. I mean, this is a baby who was basically with his family who, by God's direction, was kind of on the run, born in a cave. Or you want to call it a stable or a manger. And Jesus says, if you're following me, if you're really going to come after me, understand, you may not have the conveniences that you like. As Jesus is saying this, somebody else says, I'll follow you. Jesus looks at another man and says, follow me. And the man replied, and it sounds, Jesus' answers sound a little cold if you read it just kind of at, you know, the black and white and red in my Bible, at that face value. We've got to understand something, that when this man was told and invited to follow Jesus, he said, let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. It sounds pretty cold, but understand that it wasn't that this person, this son of the man, was actually in the middle of a funeral. It's not that he was dead. It had to do with tradition, a responsibility according to the code of the tradition of the culture, that when the father passed away, you were to help make the arrangements and take care of things. And so there, we don't know that when this man was going to die. It could have been years. It could have been decades. And he's just saying, you know what? After I take care of this, then I'll follow you. It goes on, and another yells out, I will follow you, but first let me go say goodbye to my family. You know what comes to my mind is where Jesus is at the temple, and his family's trying to get in to see him. Do you remember this? And he was told, hey, your family's looking for you. He says, who is my mother, my brother, my sister? It is he who does the will of my Father, or he who hears the word and obeys it. He says, those are the people who are my family. And Jesus wasn't speaking against biological family. He's just saying that that when you are born again of the Spirit, when you give your life over to Christ and you ask forgiveness and you ask him into your heart and life, that you are born again. And you are born of the Spirit of the Lord. And that he's your family. That's a tough teaching. It's a tough saying. It's not that we're just supposed to abandon our biological family. He's just saying, you know what? When it comes to the kingdom, know who your family is and know who the Father is and who's calling the shots. And that following Jesus can be inconvenient. And following Jesus may cause you to transcend some traditions. And following Jesus, well, you know what? There may be a separation that comes between you and close friends, or maybe even you and biological family. Our hope is that our whole family would move in the will of God and the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean that there has to be animosity between you and your biological family. It just means that there is a precedence, a priority of following after Christ and his word and his will and his purpose. You and I worry about a lot of things. You and I worry about a lot of things that we try to justify as holy and acceptable to God, because it's more comfortable for us to delay some things rather than follow him right now. It was interesting this morning when we heard a word of prophecy or telling forth the truth that came during our time of singing praise and worship. And I want you to know that you've never been in a service before where someone spoke out like that, where it was in order as it was this morning. I want you to know that Paul writes about it in orderly worship to the Corinthian church, where we draw our principles from. And it was a gift of the Spirit for all of us to listen to God's word and to follow after him, that this is the season, the time is now. Do not delay, the Spirit said this morning. And I could show you, I can show you right here in my Bible where it says these things are not justifiable to be, justifiable reasons to delay. I can show you here. This was written long before, what's that word? You read that? You read my writing? What's that word?
Delay.
What's it say? Say it loud.
Delay.
I don't know what you and I worry about or what gets in the way, but we use some things to delay following the Lord because it's convenient. And maybe for you, maybe it's hurt. You know, it's not just these reasons. You're saying, well, you know, my father's already passed away, so I don't have to use that. And, you know, I don't live in a real fancy house, so, you know, hey, I understand the whole foxes, you know, have holes and birds have nests. And, you know, I want to follow the Lord. And, you know, my family, you know, they really don't care for me anyhow and because of my faith in the Lord. And so, you know what, I'm in the clear. I'm good to go. These are not the only reasons that you and I delay obeying the Lord. We all have reasons. They can be as individual as the number of people who are here. Maybe for you it's hurt. Somebody hurt you. Maybe it's somebody in the church who's hurt you. And you use that as reason not to be committed to the church body, or use it as a reason not to be committed to the Lord. Maybe somebody wounded you somewhere along the line, and you use that as some justifiable reason to delay really giving yourself fully to the Lord. I don't know, maybe it was a pastor. Maybe it was this pastor. Maybe it was some leader. Maybe it was somebody else in the body. I don't know. Maybe it's somebody from long ago that was in the church, at some church somewhere else. I don't know, what are you using for an excuse? You think it's justifiable to the Lord? Maybe because you even feel like, in all honesty, that you are totally, completely in the right. You think that's justifiable to delay or to hinder you? You've allowed yourself to be entangled. Whether it's by tradition, personal agenda, I don't know, family. Maybe it's, after I get some things squared away, it's like this. This is beautiful. Listen, if you've said this, please don't take it personal. I maybe never heard you say it. I've just heard people do this. And when I've counseled young couples or those who are getting married, and we do some pre-marriage coaching and things like that, and they say, well, we're holding off on children until we have all our finances figured out. I sit there and I say, that's good. That's great. Good plan. Inside, I'm going, pfft. I'll tell you why. We had 4 children in 4.5 years. And I remember what I was making. I remember. I remember that we had our second child. It'd be Brittany and Jessica. Sydney and Brock, you weren't necessarily in our mind yet. We had a second child. I was youth pastoring, and we lived in Canada, Sudbury. So we were making Canadian money, and at the time, that was the exchange rate. It was 35%. Canadian dollars were 35% weaker than the U.S. dollar. And in Ontario, it was one of the highest taxed places because they made jokes like, you know what Ontario needs? One more tax. I remember. And Pat, I was making $22,000 a year. Now to you, you're thinking, man, $22,000, you are rich. I remember. And then we moved and our third was on the way. Yeah, we were going to wait to get our finances all figured out before we had children. Listen, that's a great plan, and you go ahead and stick to your plan and your conviction. I'm not criticizing. I'm just telling you it makes me laugh. It's like the Lord. You're calling me to do something, but you know what? After I get this all settled and in place, then I will. I'll tell you, the only thing we need to get in place is our heart, our attitude needs to be right with the Lord. And there's nothing wrong with planning and there's nothing wrong with organizing. Please, it is a gift from God. But understand that our agenda and our plan does not always fit with the Lord. And some of you have carried out your agenda and plan, and I commend you for that kind of discipline and vision and plan and working it and all of that. But I'll tell you what, I hope it wasn't at the expense of you putting off the Lord some things that you should have obeyed him about a long time ago. And you might feel all safe and secure right now. But are we safe and secure in the eyes of the Lord? And I'm not suggesting to you that if you are safe and secure in this room that you have disobeyed the Lord. I'm just throwing these things out for us. And some of you in this room, maybe the reason we have some of the struggles and sufferings we do is we didn't listen to the plan of the Lord. And we didn't follow his plan. And we delayed because of an attitude or a thought or a personal preference. And we try to justify it. And maybe that's why we're impoverished. Maybe in this life and maybe in our spirit. I don't know. But what are you worried about? What do you got that's in the way that causes delay from following and obeying the Lord right out of the chute? Right when he calls. Right when he gives the direction. Right when you read it. What is it? He's on his way somewhere. He's on the move. People rejected him. People said, I'll follow you. Then he tells them what the cost and what it might be like. And they go, well, yeah, but you know, I got to wait around for this to be in place. And then I will. Do you ever think that some of those things will be taken care of when we just honor the Lord's word and obey him first? This is one of the hard, there's some hard teachings of Jesus. There's some hard sayings. There's some hard accounts of what went on and what was said and what was meant. And frankly, one of my concerns is that sometimes I can get insulated from this. But Jesus' principles, though the culture's different, the principles, they transcend. The principles are universal. They're kingdom principles. And granted, these kingdom principles are not always easy to live in this world. But if we are conforming to the patterns of this world, then we're not really in his kingdom. You and I are supposed to live by the kingdoms of God, by the principles of the kingdom of God in this world. And it's tough, and sometimes it's a discovery, and sometimes it's, Lord, I want to follow you, but I don't know how to play that out. Teach me, show me. But listen, don't sit back and scheme and think I can satisfy this in the world, and I can also satisfy God, and that puts me in a really good place. Don't delay. Don't put it off. I mean, what is it that we're waiting for? When it comes to obeying him, when it comes to stepping out in faith, when it comes to making a declaration based upon his word and trusting him, what are we delaying? Once I get this, hey, I understand that there's steps and progress and a process of God working in our life. And our life is filled with steps and faithfulness and battles and all of that. I understand. I get that. But you know, it's so contradictory to think, you know what? I'm not going to go to church until I get my life together. That's like saying, I'm going to wait till I don't need forgiveness and I got it all right, and then I'll go to God. How deceiving is that? We're supposed to just come to him. We're just supposed to go to him. And he begins to work things out if we're going to obey and follow him. I don't know what gets in your way. I only know what gets in my way. Because it's between him and me. What's in my way? And you need to ask yourself that question this morning. What is in my way? Am I one of these people in the crowd that saying, Jesus, I'll follow you because you've seen him. You've known him. You've heard his word. You've watched some miracles take place. And so you're the volunteer. I'll follow you. And it sounds good because you have sentiment. And I believe that there's a measure of our heart that says, yes, we want to follow the Lord. We want to be the one in the crowd that says, Lord, I'll follow you. And then he begins to walk. And he begins to teach. And he begins to talk. And he begins to live kingdom principles and model kingdom life. And we start to go, yee, you know, this ain't so great on my flesh here. This ain't so great on my plan. I think there's a better way. And all of a sudden, it puts a big delay on us being fit for service. Fit for service. Fit for purpose. Fit for work. Fit for labor in serving our King. Maybe you're the one this morning and you hear the voice of God saying, follow me. And you're saying, I will, but just let me do this first. What's the delay? You can come up with excuses that you think are very meaningful. They make sense to you. You could tell somebody else and they'd go, yeah, you know, that kind of makes sense. Listen, if it's not based on this, it doesn't make good sense. I know. I've had my senses, my thoughts. What's the delay? What's the holdup? What's the hindrance? Well, I'm waiting for an apology from this person. Listen, I know people who've received sincere apologies that never set them free. So that tells me that apologies don't set people free. Usually the one who's done the offending and the apologizing, it sets them free. But not the person who's offended, who's waiting for an apology. Waiting to be told you were right, or I was wrong, or sorry I hurt you, or whatever it is. And yet you feel so noble keeping your ground and taking your stance. Like you're justified. And all it is delaying. Because it's this huge preoccupation, this huge barrier in you from doing what the Lord has called you to do and becoming what the Lord has called us to become. Maybe it's something recent. Maybe it's something from a long time ago. Listen, what sets us free is forgiving and just following the Lord and let Him take care of it. Why be preoccupied with somebody else's life? We need to be preoccupied and all about God and His kingdom and our responsibilities in this life to carry out His kingdom ways. It's a challenge for all of us. But we need to identify what is delaying me. What is making me not fit for service in God's kingdom? I don't know. Is it some retirement plan? Is it finances? Is it some hurt? Is it some wound? Is it some convenience? Is it some, you know, big dream and desire that's almost within your grasp? Is it, who am I? And I don't feel so good. And I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too this. I'm too that. I love in the scripture the Lord says, shut up. None of those are justifiable reasons to delay from following the Lord. What is He calling you to today? What has He put before you today in the way of direction or purpose or opportunity? We're only called to be faithful to Him and to what's before us. And then He'll move us along, and other things will come, and other opportunities to serve and to become all the things that purge us and purify us and refine us and bring Him glory and honor. I'll follow you. Just let me go do this first. I remember in my childhood, my parents would ask me to do something. And I said, I will do it. Just let me finish. And it's not like I was finishing one job. I was finishing a game. Or I was doing, some playing with the neighbor kids or whatever it was. It wasn't like, hey, I'm finishing up this responsibility and this job. It wasn't like, you know what, if you let me finish my homework first. My parents would have said, absolutely, no problem. It was usually something else. And I put it off and put it off. And sometimes at the end of the day, it still wasn't done. You know, and you feel a little guilty and you feel bad or you forgot about it and you come in and go, oh, I'll do it now. No, nah-uh. Now is wash your hands, eat supper, bath, and you got to get to bed because you got school tomorrow. Yeah, but I got to do. No, too late. Or you come home and it was already done. That was the worst. It was the worst. But now, I'm on the other side. We are giving requests. Would you please do this or do that? Would you take care of this? Will you take care? Yeah, but, well, can I finish or can I do? And you go, inside you just go, ooh. You want to just say, no, now. And you rip the plug out of the wall. And all their technology shuts down. We'll see where your faith is now. You're going to have to pray it on. You know, now we're on the other side going, oh, was that clean? Was that picked up? Was that done? You pull up to the house, you come into the house, and you know what? It hasn't been done. Oh, I hate when they act like I did. This is not a side sermon for my children. It's for all of us, God's children, when we say, yeah, I will, but let me do this first. I want us to be so pierced this morning by His Spirit, the Spirit of the Word, that just says, oh, ouch. Not that you walk out or I walk out in condemnation thinking, I'm not a very good Christian. No, no. Ouch. You know what? I need your help, God. I need to change that because that is not who I want to be. It's not who I want to be. So help me move in faith, in faithfulness. Help me give up maybe the convenience. Maybe help me give up the plans that aren't really inside your plans. What happens when my plan keeps going and going and going and then I run out of life? And nobody else may know it. People might admire our plan. Our kids will talk all about us and how great we were and all those things that we did. And yet, when we get to heaven's threshold, yeah, we're in, but we get rewarded for the obedience. And all of a sudden, we're there, and our letter jacket's kind of lean of medals. If I knew what this would have been like, I would have. Oh, wow. What life would be without regret. What's delaying? Where's the hang up? Where's the speed bump for us? What's slowing us down? He knows how to blow in on the wind of His Spirit. Quail where quail should not come. He knows how to bring manna. He knows how to bring the resource. He knows how to bring the supply. He knows all of that if we will just obey Him. His ways are not always our ways. Because His way transcends. It's above our way. Remember this, and I've said this before. He sees the whole parade at one time. We only see what's passing before us right now in life. He sees the whole thing. That means He knows. He's wise. He's got a plan. Not to harm, but to prosper. Right? I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Not to harm you, to prosper you. In spirit, in body, everything that represents our life. Prosper us. Oh, careful, it was good until you, get the old judgment thing going again, Randy, not this prosper gospel stuff. Listen, it all works together. And what you think in your humanity is prosperous may not be what God thinks is prosperous. So let's get close to Him. Let's follow Him. Don't delay. Don't delay. Don't walk out this morning and say, it was just another Sunday. I still got time. I got another week. I got this. I got so many years of that. I got to get this. And I'm going to do this. And I'm almost there. And then It's like people, the church saying, I'm almost retirement. I can't wait to retire. And then I'm just going to go serve the Lord and volunteer and do all that. I understand it will provide you more time when you retire, but retirement's, you know, a few years off. Why don't you start volunteering right now? How great is that? Why don't you roll up your sleeves now?
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.